This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we're all traveling this faithfulness bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at botfpodcast.com. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/botfpodcast. You can find me on Instagram now at botfpodcast. And if this episode or any other sparks a need to find more resources, or if you want to reach out, you can always email me jenna@botfpodcast.com. I'm really excited to continue on in this motherhood series. It's been a lot of fun. We've met a lot of really cool people, and I'm so excited because today we are with Sharon Wilharm, and she is a Christian filmmaker and director. She's a speaker, and she is the host of the podcast All God's Women, which is where she takes an intimate look at the women found in the Bible and what we can learn from them today. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more with our conversation. So Sharon, I am so excited to talk to you, to have adult interaction and hear some really cool stories and bring some light to things that I have never really thought about before, because you're really good at doing that in my life. So thanks for coming today.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm really curious. First of all, how did you get into filmmaking? And then how did that pave your way into podcasting?
Filmmaking, I kind of fell into. It wasn't anything that I planned. I was a bookworm. I never really watched movies or anything. And then I married a businessman. When we got married, he had coin laundromats. And so I thought that that was what he did. I knew that he had a degree in broadcast communications, but my husband is an introvert, and he had gone to school and then realized that he didn't really have the personality for the industry, so he'd kind of given it up. But we had been married about 10 years, and he decided that he was going to do a documentary. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, have fun, sounds great. We had just moved to a small town, and he was going to do it on the history. And neither one of us remembers exactly how it happened, but somehow or another, his little documentary turned into a Christian movie with me writing, directing, and starring in it. And it was bad. It was really bad because I didn't know what I was doing. And I just kind of stumbled into it, and I didn't like doing it. And so I complained to God, you know, going, why did you make me do this? I don't like it. I'm not good at it. And I don't like to do things that I'm not good at. Everybody agreed this really wasn't my thing. So another 10 years went by, or almost 10 years. And the next thing you know, we're making another movie and another. And I just kept blaming God, going, I don't like, you know, everybody else around me, they love filmmaking. They're just so excited. And I hated it. I would just keep praying, God, I know this is what I'm supposed to do, but I don't like doing it. I'm not good at it. And very clearly, God told me, well, then get good at it. It's like, oh, okay. From that point on, it kind of changed. And so I did begin to study and read and go to, you know, workshops and classes and stuff. And that became my ministry. But we released our last movie in 2018. You know, we both knew this was our last movie. I figured that this was going to be the time I was finally going to get to speak, because that is what I'd always wanted to do. And everything else kept taking precedence over it. And it's like, oh, finally I can speak. And then 2020 hit. So that's how I kind of ended up with podcasting.
I find that so encouraging that you started something, and I don't know, I'm such a perfectionist that if I'm not really good at it at the beginning, it's really hard for me to continue in something like that. You reminded us that even though you might not have a bent towards something, or you may not be good at it, that God can still help you learn as long as you keep doing obediently what he's asking you to do.
Exactly. And you know what's funny is, because when we were making movies, especially in the early days, you know, I didn't claim to know what I was doing. I felt like an imposter and everything. But I had this thought of, you know I'm supposed to be doing it, and I can't control what happens to the movie after I make it. But the least I can do is make it a good experience for, you know, the cast and crew that are involved. Obviously, when we first started and we were doing the early movies, a lot of times my husband and I was doing like the directing and everything in front of the camera, the writing and directing, and he was doing the filming and the technical aspects. And there were times, I mean, it was hard on a marriage, you know, because we would each have our own ideas. And if we fell short, we would blame the other one because that's what you do. You know, it obviously wasn't my fault that that didn't work. I remember this one scene. We were doing this movie and we had this scene. It was our biggest scene. It was supposed to be a high school reunion. Lots of people, you know, all these extras. It was the big scene of the movie. And a lot of our people didn't show up. A lot of our extras who were friends of ours just like didn't show up. And then one of our main actresses who lived in Atlanta, she got the date mixed up. And so she woke up that morning, saw on Facebook that we were filming, realized she was supposed to be there, you know, had to drive from Atlanta to Nashville. And so obviously she was hours late. So we had to like film around her. So we would film all the other shots except for her. I mean, it was a crazy day. Years later, I met this woman and she was one of the extras that I didn't know, but she had been a cheerleader in that scene. And she said, you know, she's like, I've been in a lot of Christian movies and yours was the first that y'all were real Christians. And she's like, that really impacted me. And so I was like, okay, you know what? I didn't know what I was doing making movies, but at least I knew to be nice to people, you know, like at least I knew to set a good example. So I was so thankful that I don't know how she saw it in that day because that day was horrible. I mean, it was bad.
I don't know. I think our true faith in Christianity and all of that is seen a lot more clearly in how you respond to those high stress, really bad days. So even if you were short or frustrated, you know, it's okay to be angry and frustrated in a situation like that. But if you responded with grace and integrity, that says just as much as, if not more, than a day where everything goes perfect and you're nice.
You know, I never even looked at it that way. But yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, because I mean, it was bad. Even our food, they got the food mixed up and they didn't even feed us. You'd think at least you can eat, but we had ordered barbecue and they didn't bring it to us. It's like, oh, yeah, it was a really bad day, but how cool. And I didn't even remember her. Like she recognized me and I didn't even remember her. I'm so glad that she had that memory.
So, random question, but what advice would you give a mom out there that feels called to do something but struggling with that imposter syndrome?
If this is something that God has called you to do, you just do it. We know from the Bible is pretty clear on what happens when we run away from God. And that's not a good thing. You know, that's always been my philosophy of if God calls me to do it, however scared I am, however ill-equipped, I'm still going to do it. And I'm so thankful because some of the times that he has called me to do things that I didn't want to do and that I didn't, you know, felt like I didn't know, those have been the best blessings. I taught children's church for 3 years and I didn't want to do it. And I remember arguing with God going, somebody needs to do this, but not me. It was like, no, you're the one. It was just such a blessing to me throughout my life. The times that I felt least equipped and, you know, most resistant, that's the time that God really blessed me. So you just do it.
I feel like that sums up motherhood in general. I feel so, so imposter. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And my kids expect me to be the adult and know everything. But that's how God has really shown up in my life and reminded me, hey, you don't, but I do. And I've got this has been one of the biggest lessons I've learned through motherhood.
There is nothing more humbling than raising a child. And I remember one of my friends expressed it so well. She's like, you know, I remember them handing me this baby. And she's like, I can't believe they're letting us take this baby home because we don't know what to do with it. You know? That's exactly how you feel. Like there's no owner's manual. All the books in the world, it just doesn't prepare you.
Speaking of books, what inspired this podcast and this dig into all of the women, not even just the famous ones, but every woman in the Bible? And how did you come about doing that research?
Well, my first introduction to women in the Bible was actually when I was a young mother at a church. We had this woman who started a Bible study and it was just on Proverbs 31, but we met at a park and the children would play, you know, in the park and the moms would sit there under the pavilion and we worked our way through Proverbs 31 and she would show us very practical examples of what a biblical mother looked like and using Proverbs 31 and other women. And that just really stuck with me. I actually still have the notes from that because I was just so impacted by it. And so then when I took over as women's ministry director at our church in 2019, I'm like, okay, now I'm supposed to teach a Bible study because you know, that's what you're supposed to do. And so the only thing I felt like I could really teach was on women of the Bible and Proverbs 31. So what I did is I started, we would go through Proverbs 31, and for each like verse or little section, I would tie it in with a different woman from the Bible, and really enjoyed doing that. And so then when the lockdown came, and at the same time, my daughter and her family, they were moving away to Kentucky, which is about 4.5 hours away. And they had been living with us, or not with us, but you know, in the same town. And so I'm like, I'm going to need something to do, but now they've locked everything up. So that's why I started the podcast. And I did Women of the Bible, because that's really the only thing that I felt passionate enough and that I felt I knew enough to do. And I'm so glad. And initially I was just going to do the main women and the ones that everybody does, where there's books that I have, you know, all these books, and I would go on the ones that I had the most information. And then I was meeting, talking with a guy from Christian podcast community about having my podcast be a part of their network. And he said, you know, my only concern is what happens when you run out of women. And I hadn't thought through that. And I was like, oh. And so at that point on, I'm like, you know, I need to start picking out more women, or I'm going to run out really quickly. And so I started finding these obscure women, and that's when I fell in love with them. I'm like, these women are fascinating to me. I have found that that's true, that my most popular episodes tend to be the ones on the obscure ones. And my number one most popular episode is Mephibosheth's nurse. And she only has one verse saying that she dropped the kid. But what's so encouraging about that is because here it was a frightful time, and she's in charge of this young son of Saul. So she grabs him, and she's trying to get out of the palace with, you know, with him safely, and she drops him. And as a result, he is crippled. You know, it'd be so easy for us to just, if we were in her place, we would feel like a failure. You know, all you had was one job. You had to pick up this child and get him safety, and you dropped him. But what's so neat is that God doesn't blame her for dropping him or anything, but because he was crippled and, you know, he was just kind of forgotten about. And later on, David brings him out. Actually, it was Jonathan's son. Now I think about it, I'm sorry. But he ends up inviting him to dine at his table, and he ends up taking care of him. And it's so cool because God had this wonderful plan for Mephibosheth. And it was because of that nurse that saved him, even though she dropped him. So I just find that story encouraging.
That is really encouraging. And those stories aren't wasted. Nothing in the Bible, no little sentence, doesn't have a purpose that you can glean from, that the Holy Spirit can show you something. That's really cool. I knew the story, but I'd never really thought about what it would be like to be her in that situation.
Yeah, that's why, you know, like every time when I look at these women, it's like, what if I were her? And why did God put this here? You know, why did he include this sentence? What is the purpose? What can we learn from it? And it's just a really encouraging story for when we feel like we have let God down, but we haven't.
Or even that, not that we let God down, but that he can do something with every situation.
Yes.
I need to hear that a lot. With parenting in general, there's, especially now, I don't know if it's social media or comparison or just my personality, but a lot of times I'm sitting here thinking, okay, have I ruined my child for life? Either my reaction to their tantrum or the choice, especially now, like, do we send them to school? Do we do remote learning? Do we homeschool? And am I going to ruin my kid with whatever choice I make? That sometimes I need these reminders, like this story, that I'm not powerful enough to ruin God's plan.
Oh, I remember thinking that so many times, you know, so many. Did I just fail? You know, like, is she going to be able to be all right despite my parenting? But we homeschooled from preschool through high school. And I mean, I was like so nervous. Did I prepare her well? And just worried, not just the educational aspects, but the social aspects and spiritual aspects and all that. But it was so rewarding when she got to college and she got good grades and she ended up marrying a preacher. So I'm like, okay, thank you, God.
So besides that really cool story, were there any other moms of the Bible that resonated with you?
Well, you know, it's funny because I don't read a lot of them and think like, oh, she's just like me. But I love reading about their experiences and everything. And one that just really I had heard of, I don't even know if I had heard of her before, and that's Rizpah. And I think I had just always kind of skimmed over her because it just seemed like a weird story to me. But as I began working on it for the podcast, I discovered what a beautiful story it is. Kind of obscure, but she was one of Saul's concubines. And then through a political kind of trade-off, she ended up with her two sons were killed and they were hung to appease another nation, which the whole thing is just kind of weird. But what is so beautiful is that there was nothing she could do. She was helpless. But for whatever reason, they hung these young men. And then rather than taking them down and burying them like would be appropriate, they were just forgotten. And so this mother stayed there on this hill with her sons hanging on these crosses. And for months, she just stayed there and she would keep the birds away and the wild animals and just staying there and mourning and protecting the bodies of her boys until eventually King David found out what was going on and he gave them a proper burial. But I just think she was so helpless as a mother when they were alive, but still she did everything she could and just picturing her. And I think, didn't anybody else notice what was going on? Like, didn't they worry about this mother that was there? You know, didn't somebody try to help or anything? But she was just there by herself, just watching out for her boys' dead bodies. And I just think that's just such a sad but beautiful illustration of motherhood.
I don't remember that story at all.
I know it's this obscure story, and yet it's just beautiful.
There's a reason God wanted that to be in there, because that doesn't necessarily fit in with the rest of the story of David and Saul, but there's definitely something to glean from that. And that is a really beautiful story of the devotion of a mom and the love.
Yes.
So what are some life lessons or wisdom that you've gleaned about motherhood that you either wish you had or that you pass on in mentorship or that you still use today?
Well, I think the best one that I really wish that I had given a whole lot of thought to when my daughter was younger is Mary, in that, you know, here she had this awesome responsibility of raising the Christ child, and she lost him for 3 days. And I think here she was this amazing woman, you know, obviously she was a really good mother, but she lost her child and didn't know where he was. It took her a day before she realized that she'd even lost him. And then it took her all that time to find him. The Bible doesn't condemn her for that because Jesus was where he was supposed to be and all that. But I find that so comforting that even Mary, who was an amazing woman that was chosen to be the mother of Jesus, even she lost him. I mean, if I lost my child, you know, I would feel like a failure. That's just part of motherhood. We make mistakes, you know, we do.
And our kids still turn out okay.
He turned out all right.
Yeah, I would say so. Besides Mary, if you could pick one of the women that would be the most interesting to study in terms of motherhood or just in general, which woman of the Bible have you been the most excited to study?
I tend to like the ones that are obscure. And one that I think is kind of interesting is Samson's mom. I think what's so cool about her is she's an unnamed woman, and she's a very nondescript woman, even amongst the unnamed. And she's just minding her business. And then, you know, this angel comes and tells her that she's going to have this child. And she tells him that he's going to be special, that he's going to be a Levite and all this. And it's so cool because then she goes home and she tells her husband, and it's not that he doesn't believe her, but it's almost like, this woman, why would an angel talk to her? Because she's just so nondescript. And so then the angel comes and talks to him. And it's just so cool because here was Samson, this amazing, very bigger than life kind of guy. But as a child, obviously, I'm sure he was a troublemaker. You know, he was a strong-willed child. He was a strong-willed adult. And so I think it's so cool that God picked this very nondescript woman, nothing special about her, just a very meek and mild woman to mother this strong-willed guy that was going to do just big things. And I think that's what's so cool is that the Bible isn't full of these incredible superwoman mothers. There's just a lot of ordinary women that have these amazing kids sometimes.
Actually, your podcast helped inspire one of my most popular episodes from 2020, but almost ever. I think it's already in my top 10, and I've been doing this for 3 years now. Not that I was very consistent. It's, you know, motherhood, having babies doesn't make you a very consistent podcaster. This past year, I've been pretty consistent because I'm getting sleep. Your podcast helped inspire my episode from my infertility series called Infertility is Never the End of the Story, where I looked at how many women in the Bible dealt with infertility, and Samson's mom was one of them. How God took either, like with Leah and Rachel, how it was a war of who's better because of this. You know, they were naming their kids really strange names, like lording motherhood over someone else, you know, and all of these choices. But God still chose these women who, first of all, couldn't become mothers without his help, but then that maybe weren't necessarily the wisest of women at the time, which I definitely wasn't the wisest of women when I was having babies. You know how he took that and he still made something out of that. And he, with Rachel, he had Joseph become this braggart, turn into one of the rulers of Egypt. And with Leah, she had Judah, who was one of the most angry at him, but then later came back and he did some weird stuff too, you know. The line of Jesus came from him sleeping with his daughter-in-law who pretended to be a prostitute. You know how God takes all of these crazy stories and makes something beautiful out of it. What, no matter how depraved we are as humans, God still has a plan, and our depravity and our bad choices and our pain is never the end of the story. And that's part of what your podcast helped inspire in my heart.
Neat. Yeah, I have been amazed at how many women there were in the Bible that dealt with infertility. And then it's almost like God is preparing them. He uses all that time to prepare them because he's like, this is going to be really special. And so you need to be ready. So many stories of these amazing children that took a long time to come.
So as you've dug into these stories of women, either through their infertility stories like this, like we just talked about, or those sad, obscure moments, has studying the women of the Bible helped you trust more in God's faithfulness?
Definitely, because the more I study the women of the Bible, the more I realize that pretty much anything we're going through, there is a woman in the Bible that has gone through a similar situation. And it's like all these women that there may only be a very short little bit about them, and we may not even know their names, but God included them there so that we could see, we can learn from their experiences, and we can see their suffering or their triumphs. And I just find that so, so encouraging to me to see how he used women throughout the Bible in these amazing ways. You know, so often we feel like as women, we're second-class citizens, and the Bible isn't that way. God just blesses women in so many ways. And so I just love finding new women, you know, that I never noticed before, or learning new things about women that I had heard about. But it's like, oh, well, that is really cool the way God did that. And so I find it really encouraging.
So I forget, are you doing the women in chronological order through the Bible, or are you just, wow, there's been a lot. Like,
I've gone a whole year. Well, I started at the beginning of March, I think it was. No, it was the end of March. So I'm not quite a year, and I haven't finished the Old Testament yet. So that's pretty wild.
Do you have plans do you want to end it when you're finally at the end of the Bible, or do you have other ideas?
No, what I'm going to do is I'll start grouping them. And so then rather than going in chronological, I'll do series based on grouping women that, whether it's mothers or women who dealt with sickness or courageous women, I'll just kind of group them and then do another pass through, because each time I'm not just covering the women in general. Like, I try to have a particular theme. As I study them, I'm looking, what is the main theme that I see that God is teaching us through them? But there's other things too. And so when I do a second pass, then I may focus on a different aspect of their life.
I'm really excited to see all this. It's just been so, I love history and seeing how God weaves his story through seemingly random, but obviously planned situations. And this has been a really fun front row seat of that in seeing it in a way I've never thought of before.
I mean, I get sometimes just giddy thinking of how, like, this is such a cool treat, these women that we have, that we can just study and learn more about them. And the more I learn, the more interesting it is. And so I just feel so blessed. I know it sounds silly, but it's like, thank you, God, for this gift of Bible women, you know? Like, I just love learning about them and sharing what I learn with everybody else.
So the theme of my podcast is faithfulness, which we've talked about God's faithfulness, but the other side of the bridge of faithfulness is that we have to step on that bridge and walk toward God. And that's kind of how I see our faithfulness, you know, the good and faithful servant from Matthew, and how God expects us to. Now, his faithfulness does not depend on ours, but he does expect us to do something with the gifts or the instructions or assignments that he gives us. So how has studying the women of the Bible either strengthened you or given you courage or changed the way you view and how you do your faithfulness to God?
Well, first off, it has really made me search the Bible more. I've read the Bible my entire life. You know, I grew up in church and I would read, but I would tend to like kind of, oh, I'm in this kind of mood. I'm looking for something to read in this line, or you know, just kind of picking and choosing and everything. So going in order has really forced me to be more disciplined and see the Bible as a whole rather than just bits and pieces. But podcasting too, one of the coolest things has been watching how I just assumed when I did the podcast that most of my listeners would come from the Bible Belt because that's where I live. You know, that's my world. And I just assumed that's where everyone would come from. And it really surprised me when I began to notice that I had these women all over the world. And two of my top four cities are in India, in cities where only less than 1% of the population is Christian. And so I'm like, that's really odd, God. You know, why is this? And it's really exciting. But our preacher has been really preaching these past few weeks about discipleship and how important it is that we are reaching the lost world. And I have felt this burden, you know, with all that we've been going through, it's this urgency of, I've got to change the world. All these things are happening and I have to prepare, make sure that people know, and I need to share these stories and so they can meet God and everything. But I just felt like I needed to do more. And so my podcast is with Buzzsprout, and they recently, like a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, they released this new thing called dynamic content. And it's just where you can add like a recorded message at the beginning of all your podcast or at the end of them. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. But I couldn't figure out what to do with it. I already have an intro and I already have an ending. And so if you were to add something else, what would you do? And how would you do that? And today it just hit me of what to do. And so I normally end, but I added a little 1.5 minute thing where I'm basically sharing the plan of salvation. I'm already sharing about the women, but I was like, you know what? There may be women listening to my podcast that aren't saved and they're just listening to these stories, but I want to make sure that they know how to get to heaven, that they know how to be saved. And so that is now added to all of my podcasts just with a click of a button. That was so cool. And so I'm really excited about that.
So it even added it to your past episodes?
Yes, that's just it. It's just with a click, it adds it at the end of every single episode.
Kind of like a secret spy information out in a way that only 2020 would have brought the gospel to some of these people and the way that it worked out.
Yeah, it is. It's just so cool. I feel like there are a lot of people. I know that they say that a lot of people aren't listening to podcasts because they're not doing some of the things that they used to do. I don't know, because I've only been podcasting during this environment. But I do feel like that podcasts can get to places sometimes that other things aren't getting to. And I just think that's just really exciting how God can use, how I can sit in my house and women across the world can, you know, be reached. That is just so amazing.
So how would someone find your podcast and any other resources that you would like to send people to?
Well, it's really easy because my podcast is All God's Women. And so if you go to allgodswomen.com, you can find my website and my podcast is there. You can also search SharonWilharm.com. That will also take you to my website. And if you search on social media for Sharon Wilharm or All God's Women, you can find me.
Awesome. And I'll put the links in the show notes for anyone listening that wants to check it out, which you should because it's incredibly interesting and blesses you when you listen to it. So I will have all those links in there. If you follow me on Instagram, I'll send you her way there as well. So you have chosen Luke 2:19 as your closing verse. What made you pick this one?
Well, this is where, you know, Mary has just had this baby and all these things are happening with the shepherds and got the angels and all that. And it just says how she pondered these things in her heart. And I think as mothers, so often there's things that happen and we don't necessarily understand them. We have no idea what significance it's going to have for the future, but we just kind of put it in the back of our mind and we ponder on it. And it's so special when later we can look back and we can see how God was at work and how he was doing all these things behind the scenes. And what didn't make sense at the time, now when we're looking back, we see how he was at work. But I think it's just so important for us as mothers to just sometimes just ponder these things in our heart. No one else may understand. You know, a lot of times it's just special between, you know, even your child or your husband. Nobody else may understand what you're feeling or what you're seeing or thinking, but just pondering them in your heart and treasuring them, those special memories or those moments.
I love that. That's beautiful. And I feel like that's something we struggle to do in our culture here in America with the fast-paced world and always thinking about what's next instead of trying to be present and focus on those moments that are fleeting. And I know I have little kids and they drive me crazy, but I love them so much. There are times where I blink and I'm like, oh, wait, you know, my baby girl's two and she doesn't say those silly words that she used to say anymore. Now she's starting to sound more like a kid. Or my five-year-old finally stopped sucking his thumb. And I noticed the other day, like, I didn't even realize that you stopped. And all of a sudden you're this big boy, you know? And that is a good reminder that we need to be present and remember those things. And that helps us remember that God is faithful because we can see where we've come from and what blessings he's given us along the way. Well, thank you so much again for sharing some very interesting stories. I want to start digging in more and seeing what little nuggets I can find, even just in the Old Testament. You said you're not even in the New Testament yet.
No, and it's just so cool to just read and just start asking yourself, like, what would I do if I were here? Or why did this happen? Or why did they react that way? It's just changed the way that I read the Bible. And it just really brings it to life when you start putting yourself there and kind of analyzing it and looking at what it says about God.
And it doesn't even have to be a big chunk story. Like you said, there was that one that was just one verse and you glean so much from that. So busy moms out there, even if you're only reading one verse, if you can kind of look at it in a new light, and I think maybe the filmmaker in you helps you see it a little bit differently that way. But if you can kind of hone in on that, I think that can be a really cool way to spice up some of your Bible reading as busy moms in a crazy season. Thanks again for coming and sharing this wisdom and helping us glean a little bit of wisdom. And like I said, the show notes, you can go and find her stuff. It's so interesting and so fulfilling. And thank you again for spending some of your time here, even though life is just busy now.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this. This has been fun talking about this. Luke 2:19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
This has been episode 58 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast entitled Discovering Wisdom from the Moms of the Bible with Sharon Wilharm. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/58. You can find us on social media at Facebook or Instagram.